Ours to Protect, a climate and environmental programme on WLR with Clodagh Walsh.
083 333 975. I'll try and get to some of your texts regarding the interview with Mary Butler in a little while. In studio now we have the lady who's just been mentioned on that promo, Clodagh Walsh, series presenter with what's the title of this series, Clodagh?
The title of the series is Ours to Protect, Damien.
Ours to Protect.
Yes.
And why is that title being used, I wonder?
Well, obviously, ours to protect. We're living on a planet that we need to protect, that we need to do more work to protect. I mean, not just ourselves, but also governments and people who are in power. So that's where the title came from. So it's going to look at sustainability, biodiversity and climate change over a year. So there'll be a programme. Well, when I say programme, it's a taster, really. It's about 5 to 7 minutes radio package, and it will go out each week, starting next week, for 52 weeks for a whole year.
52 weeks, superb. Yeah. Gráinne Kennedy, Climate Action Coordinator of Waterford City and County Council, is with me in studio as well. And Michael Kelly, Founder and CEO of GIY Ireland Limited, just back from his recent series on the telly.
Yes.
On the telly.
Nice to be back. How are you?
Good, thanks. Great. I'll come to you in a second, folks. So let's just hear a little clip of John Purcell. He's from the Independent Broadcasters of Ireland. And this is his take on Ours to Protect.
John Purcell, Chairman, Independent Broadcasters of Ireland. The Independent Broadcasters of Ireland represents all of Ireland's independent radio stations. It's fantastic that so many stations from all parts of the country have come together around the critically important subject of climate change. Ours to Protect builds on the power of our stations as trusted information sources, so we'll be equipping listeners with a wealth of practical information on what they can do to play their part in tackling climate change.
Okay, and that is John Purcell. A lot of people know John from Kilkenny and KCLR as well. So this is going to be a big series, and it's going to be a very amenable series. It's going to be a series that's very accessible to people. So I went on the website yesterday, as you advised, Clodagh, the Ecological Footprint Calculator. And yes, I'm similar to you. I would have to have 4.5 Earths.
I'm slightly better than you.
Were you?
But I'm completely shocked. It's it's your carbon footprint. You can, you know, calculate your carbon footprint. So you think you're not doing too badly. You're trying to be conscious of things. It's shocking. Well, I found my results shocking. It was more than could do better. Could do a lot better.
And anybody wants to Google this, ourstoprotect.ie, we're going to have a full gamut, I suppose, of links on our website over the next while on this. The important aspect of this, and we've spoken about this as well, Clodagh, and I'll just mention this now to Gráinne, is making this accessible, making this, talking about freezers and washing machines. And because sometimes climate change and the climate crisis is very theoretical. What do you think of this?
I think this is fantastic. This is information on questions I get every time I tell people what my job is, because we hear all information about climate change all the time, which is important to hear that, but we don't necessarily learn unless it's through Clodagh's programme or what Michael does as well. We don't realise what we can do ourselves, and translating the complicated things into the straightforward, what it means for you in your household, what it means in Waterford and our society. That's something that we are very keen on in the council, and we are delighted to be working with Clodagh and helping her find lots of great stories, because we get to hear the great work that's been done around the county.
Michael, front page of the Examiner this morning, too late to save summer Arctic ice. Mm. Now, I was reading down through the article, and this will have an effect potentially on the weather climates and the patterns across the North Sea, which includes Ireland. So you look at that and you say, ah, that's not going to affect us here in Ireland. Everything is connected. Mm. And you were trying to do that, and you did it very well in many parts of your programmes and other issues that you've spoken about. How important is a series like this for somebody like you?
Well, what struck me from what Clodagh was saying that really impressed me about this is that it's so consistent, you know, that it's going to be there for a full year, which is, like, I'm sure, incredibly challenging for Clodagh to make sure that content is there. But I think that consistency is really important, because this is like we're all in this for the long haul. I think I read that those headlines yesterday as well, and like it's so disturbing. But then we only have to look out the window this week to see that climate change is here and now. It's not something that's happening or coming down the tracks in 10 years' time or whatever. Like we are having a drought at the moment. It's lovely weather. Like, and for a while there, I was like, you know, let's hope it's just lovely beach weather. But actually, this is a drought now. And it's our fourth drought in 6 years. And so our weather patterns have completely shifted. Like, we're irrigating in Grow HQ. I'm sure there's growers and gardeners listening to this who are having to water at home. We never had to do that outside in an Irish summer before, like never. And so it's happening. It's happening right here and now. And as Grainne says, I think we're the headlines and the narrative around this is so demotivating and disempowering, actually, because it feels like it's so complex and what can I do? Whereas actually, there's loads we can do, but it only works if we do it collectively and we do it at scale. But those individual sort of actions are hugely, hugely important.
So this, if people want to know, we're part of the Independent Broadcasters of Ireland. So this series and these series will be run across the different stations. And it's part of Independent Broadcasters trying to get messages, important messages out to the public that are, as we said, accessible and that do not lead to climate anxiety. What is climate anxiety, Clodagh?
Well, I've been talking to people, I suppose, over the last month, lots of different people, you know, Grainne included, the lovely TY students out in Ardscull and Amara with Patrick Kerwin. They're a fantastic teacher, the work they're doing out there. I was talking to a geologist about erosion on the Copper Coast, talking to Mary Boland down in the Theatre Royal about arts and sustainability. So I'm learning as I'm going. And all this information is coming at you. And it is actually quite overwhelming. It is. And then taking the test that we did yesterday in work, and I thought, oh my God, like, it is huge. But both Grainne and Michael have made the point that if you just bring it back down to the local, I think that's where people can do things themselves, whether it's the community garden, you know, whether it's getting involved with what Michael is doing, whether it's saying, you know what, I'm actually not going to drive the car on Friday, I'm going to walk to work, or I'll start with buying the bamboo toothbrush. It's about a mindset, and you can begin really, really small to do that and then grow it. And as Michael said, it is about collectivity and about collective responsibility as well. But the thing is not to get overwhelmed about it, because if you look at all the stats and the figures, there was a headline across the Irish Times the other day about sustainability boundaries. I can't remember it off the top of my head, but how scientists were saying we've broken those boundaries in relation to, you know, water and climate change and electricity, that this planet is not fit for habitation. That's too much to take in. People can't take that in, and neither do they want to take it in. It's too overwhelming. So I suppose the notion behind this as well, and the things that I'm going to look at, they're all very, very accessible, and it's across Waterford County and City, and it's what people are doing and what you can do at home yourself or in your community.
And that leads me to the work that you've done, an awful lot of work in the council.
A lot more to do.
And a lot more to do. And this is a new way of local government, effectively.
Indeed.
Because you're bringing one department and trying to make everything else work into this parameter.
Mm-hmm.
That's really difficult.
It's quite difficult. We're at the stage at the moment, anyone listening, we're looking for people's ideas as to what they would like to see the council doing, what they would like to be able to do in their own lives, because we need to integrate this into everything that the council does. From, you know, we're putting together a climate action plan, which will look at, you know, how are we going to make sure that all our road staff are up to whatever level of knowledge, so that, you know, we're not going to have road surface being damaged by extreme heat, or we're going to use different materials. There's a big change in all the different ways we deliver our services in the council. A simple one, which Michael will be familiar with, the different requirements now we have when people come along to us and say, they would like to apply for funding for a festival. We don't want, as the council, then to have to, you know, spend loads of money and energy to, or to, you know, spend loads on cleaning up and rubbish and all that kind of thing. Like, these are all things that are going to have to be incorporated into everything the council does, from housing to roads, and planning has a big role there. So it's something that people have embraced in Waterford, but I think there's still more work to be done to be a little bit more ambitious and to push beyond. But we've done a lot when it comes to transport and all of these different initiatives.
Collective action and collective responsibility, Michael. We've spoken about this before, and people will text in and say, what about what's happening in China? Mm. By us buying a bamboo toothbrush is not going to make much of a difference. How do you counteract that argument?
I think all you can say is, well, look, like, it's all we have. Like, all we can affect is our own lives and the lives of those around us. We can't sort of impact what they do in China. But I'd be a big believer, like, everything DIY does is about individual action at scale, like getting enough people sort of inspired to make these changes, that it does, you know, when you add all of that individual action, it has a huge collective impact. And that's all we can do. And I think, like, to me, part of the feeling of being kind of feeling disenfranchised and disempowered is because I think for all of the sort of the individual actions that people are taking, we feel that governments around the world are not doing enough, and they're not doing enough quick enough for what people want. Like, if you think about food waste specifically as an issue, you know, we know the food system causes about 30% of greenhouse gas emissions globally. Food waste within that causes about 8% of the entire greenhouse gas emissions globally is caused by food that's never eaten. And to put that in context, like, aviation is around 2%. And of the food waste in Ireland, incidentally, the majority of the food waste happens in the home. Do you know what I mean? So, like, there's partly, it's easy to sort of say, well, government's not doing enough, and I've said that, and I say that I don't think they are doing enough, but we also have to own our part of the problem, and our part of the problem is huge. Our behaviours around food and other aspects of this are contributing hugely to this, and we have to take action. And what Claude is doing here is really important, because it gives us loads of ideas to take action, and those individual actions matter a lot.
Grainne, I'm going to bring you back in a second. Just hang on a second, okay? 1 second.
10, 9, 8, 7. The countdown is on. The WLR Waterford Viking Marathon, Sunday, June 25th. Starts 9 a.m. at Bishop's Palace, taking in Ricebridge, Thomas Francis Marr Bridge, Mount Congreve and the Greenway, finishing on Grattan Quay. Great new t-shirt, medal, goodie bag and music en route, parking in the city. Get ready to go. The WLR Waterford Viking Marathon, full half and quarter, Sunday, June 25th. Register now on waterfordvikingmarathon.com. Supported by Bausch & Lomb, Sanofi, Teva, Flahovens, Joma Sports, DG Foods and Waterford Council. Charity partner for 2023 is the Guide Dogs for the Blind.
Hey, Virgin Media customers in Waterford, switch to Air Broadband this summer and save up to €420. Experience amazing 500 meg speeds for just €34.99 a month. Sign up today and get €50 off your bill. For more, call 1800 500 300, go in store or visit air.ie. Air, Ireland's number one broadband provider. Subject to availability, 12-month contract, Ireland's number one broadband provider based on ComReg market share. For full T's and C's, see air.ie/save.
Need to get places on Sundays? You can now hop on board the JJ Cavan and Sons Waterford City route that now operates 7 days a week. And don't forget, you can check journey times and see where the bus is at any time with our real-time information with just one click on the JJ Cavan and Sons app. Travel happy with JJ Cavan and Sons. Download today.
Ours to Protect, a climate and environmental programme on WLR with Clodagh Walsh.
083 333 975. We are here with Gráinne Kennedy, Climate Action Coordinator, Waterford City and County Council, Michael Kelly, Founder and CEO of GIY Ireland, and Clodagh Walsh, Series Presenter, an overview with this new excellent series called Ours to Protect. Gráinne, you wanted to come in there after what
yes,
Michael was saying.
We were chatting about the question that often comes up about if we're doing our bit, what if nobody else is doing their bit? And working in this area, you get to know an awful lot about what other countries are doing. And I'm not sure if it's enough, but there's a lot happening in other parts of the world that we don't hear about because it mightn't be headline news or whatever it is. But that's why I think this series is so good, because it gives people an opportunity to hear the good news around Waterford, and that gives them the kind of impetus maybe that they might set up something, a community garden in their own area or a repair workshop or whatever it is. But there is, I would say to people, there are places online, there's like good news websites and different things like that that will actually give you information about like what China is doing or what India is doing. And countries like that, interestingly, they're kind of skipping steps that we had to go through because they have particularly technology now and the know-how that we kind of took us a bit of time to gather. So that's really interesting that those other places, but I suppose our focus is Waterford and Ireland and what we're doing as a country and how it is that it can be benefit from us from the point of view of the environment, but also from our health, our community, all these other things that are really good for us.
I think, sorry,
go on Michael.
Well, I was just thinking there that like community action also, I think, puts pressure on government and the corporate world to sort of make change as well. So like one of the most depressing things I've read in the last couple of years was last week, The Guardian had a report that there was 800 million trees cut down in the Amazon rainforest in the last 6 years to make way, like to deforest for more beef farming, basically, a lot of which is exported to the EU. And there were four companies responsible for that, like 800 million, nearly a billion trees cut down in the last 6 years. So like, I think it's so important for individuals and communities to have a voice and to sort of raise up projects like this and for media to sort of shine a light on them, because, you know, otherwise, like, I think government and the corporate world sort of maybe feel we don't care enough about it.
Yeah, actually, the point you've made, I was going to make something similar to say that community action can be very powerful. And if there's votes at stake, you can be absolutely damn sure that politicians will listen. And we're heading into an election, won't be that far away. But just something else I wanted to say as well. You know, we were talking at the beginning about it can be overwhelming, but a lot of the people that I've spoken to, I asked them, are they hopeful? And every single one of them said, yes, they are hopeful. And I think that's good. It's not enough to say you're hopeful. I mean, they're obviously taking action. But I just thought it's interesting, that people want, I think genuinely people want to do something as well. And I spoke to two young girls. They set up, actually not very far from this parish next door, they were setting up a pop-up shop. They're young, they're in their 20s, but, you know, they were switched on. And they also said, yes, we do buy fast fashion, but then maybe young people, you know, don't know what to do. They don't know how to set up a pop shop. So they were putting it up online, doing a video saying you can do this with your friends, you can get together. You know, there is a lot happening. And I think it's important that people know what's happening, particularly in their own communities.
We were down at Quishes and Supervalue last week and they've spent 170,000 on solar panels and systems to go with that. And that's part of a €3 million redevelopment of the store. And as part of that, then they have the ability to heat and light most of their store, particularly during the summertime, with those solar panels. So there are incentives, obviously, mm-hmm. and there are ways of doing this. Food is a massive, massive issue. In terms of electricity, Gráinne, and companies getting in touch with ye, are ye amenable and open to people getting in touch with ye?
I'm very glad you mentioned that. So at the moment, we are going to be contacting businesses in the next few weeks because there's a rates discount scheme for small businesses of rates below 10,000 or hospitality businesses. So basically, if you're a business that fits into that category, you can either upload an energy audit that you've already completed or part of it, or you could do an energy assessment to get your discount. And what we want to do is, with those businesses that have gone through that scheme and maybe gathered that information, we want to tie them, or we want to connect them then with the funding. And basically, anyone who goes through the process, we had 990 businesses last year complete this activity. We want to see more this year. I think there's something like 5,000 businesses in Waterford that are eligible. But that's what we're trying to do. We put forward our own businesses, our buildings for, you know, upgrades and things like that. The funding comes through SEEI, but we want to be the connector between the businesses. So they'll be all getting a letter in the next few weeks. So don't ignore your council post.
Michael, for any of those businesses that are listening this morning, what would you have to say to them directly about tuning into this every week, about getting it, about getting your employees to go and try the, I suppose, testing systems, and like, what would you have to say to them?
I kind of feel their pain, I suppose, to be the first thing I say. Like, this stuff isn't easy, and we did an energy audit on our own building, and it's a very green building in some ways, but in terms of energy production, I suppose we could do a lot more. It's expensive. It's complicated. Like, it's getting better, and there's agencies out there now, I think, that are supporting, making the applications for grants and all that stuff a little bit easier than it used to be. So that's all very positive. I think it's just not good enough anymore to sort of let that stuff slide. But like everything, I think the economic incentives now are very real, because the cost of energy has gone so high. And I think, funnily enough, the same thing will apply for homeowners and for farmers. Like, at the end of the day, economic incentives, I think, are what work. I think for individuals, like, it's really important to kind of think about food. We all eat three times a day if we're lucky. So it's a very accessible form of climate action. You can, every time you eat, it's either, you know, sustainable or not. And we know from all the research that the two biggest climate change mitigation behaviours that we can adapt in our lives across the board, across food, energy, transport, everything, are eating more plants and wasting less food. Those two things, if you do that, and I'm not anti-meat at all, but if you bring more plant-based meals into your life and reduce your food waste, they're the two biggest things you can do, bar nothing else. So I think that'll be my message for individuals, like, just eat more plants and waste less your food and you're on the road, you know.
Sounds very simple. Claude, are you excited about this?
I am, yes, yeah. I was a bit daunted earlier in the week, just because I was thinking 52 weeks, holy mother of God, why did I sign up? But actually, no, I'm looking forward to it. And also because it's a huge, for me, if what we're going to cover is a very broad church. It's like tasters for people, as I said, of what's going on, what they can do, and just information of what's happening out there. So yes, I am looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it as well. I know there's some listeners texting in as well to say looking forward. What's the first piece going to be, do you know?
Well, the first piece is setting the scene. I'm talking to Elaine Mullins. She's a lecturer in health-related social and environmental sciences out in SETU. And actually, people might be familiar with her voice from your programme and also from Maria McCann on a Saturday. So she's, you know, about 5 or 6 minutes, she's just going to set us up, set the scene of where we are with climate change now, and then we'll take it from there. Then off we go.
Super. Gráinne, if anybody wants to get in touch with you through the council websites or give you a call.
Yeah, our email is climateaction@waterfordcouncil.ie, or you can have a look at the council webpages to do with climate.
Okay. Mick, hello to all your staff and everybody and all your customers over there. Hope you're all keeping well and family.
We are. We're praying for a bit of rain now to come and water the veggies so we don't have to. So thanks for that. Yeah.
And ourstoprotect.ie is one of the websites to go to.
It is. And we have everything up on our own website as well. And I just encourage people to go on and just take that kind of carbon
ecological footprint calculator.
It's really interesting. Yeah. There's also a survey that you can take up there. So it'll take a couple of minutes of your time. So you could even take the survey now, go back to it in 6 months or wait a year and just see how you've changed. Not have you, but how you've changed.
Clodagh, Gráinne, Mick, thanks very much.
Thanks, Minion.
Thank you.
Thanks, Damien.
Ours to Protect, brought to you by WLR, the IBI, and funded by Comisión na Mban with a television licence fee. Check out ourstoprotect.ie and WLRFM.com for more info.